Very good. And while we're clapping, I would love to just take a quick moment to honor our lead pastor. I'm up here today because he loves to invest and empower other leaders. And so can we give it up for Pastor Jeff? Let's honor him today. I know that he doesn't like it, but it is good for you and me once in a while to recognize just what he is doing as the leader of our church. So as I mentioned, the North Platte campus, that was where my wife and I, we first joined the New Life staff. We went out to North Platte and we planted that campus coming up on 10 years ago. I was talking to a friend the other day and I was like, man, when you start measuring things in decades, you know that you're getting old, all right? And so that's what New Life out in North Platte is. You're starting to get old. You're almost 10 years old. One of my favorite people, I know you're not supposed to have favorites, but let's be real, I think we all do. One of my favorite people that I've ever, honestly, ever met in my life is a guy named Lester. He attends our North Platte campus. He sits in the back row, just kind of over to my left. He would always be in the back row, and he's there hanging out with Mickey and Steve and Susan, and you can just count on these guys. They're always in the back row. And Lester, man, if you don't talk to this guy, you don't realize just how funny and fun to be around he is. But let me tell you a quick story about Lester. He's been with us at the North Platte campus almost since we opened. And I want to say he's been around 7 or 8, maybe even 9 years at the North Platte campus. And on one particular Sunday, he had been walking in with a cane because he had suffered an injury to his leg at work. And so he was using a cane, and he'd sit in the back row, and then he would walk out using his cane. And on one particular Sunday morning, we were talking about healing. And at the end of the message, when we went into response worship, we invited people to come forward to receive prayer for healing. And Lester used his cane, and he walked down to the altar area where Pastor Nate's wife, Drew, prayed with him. And in that moment, he was healed. And he did not have to walk back to the back row using his cane. In fact, he didn't have to use that cane anymore because he had experienced healing from God. I want you to know right off the bat, here at New Life, we believe God still heals. We don't believe that healing and miracles were just something that took place in the New Testament. We believe that God still is in the business of healing. And if we're honest, if we're transparent with one another, we're all in need of healing. We're all in need of it. One form or another, all of us are in need of healing. And there's good news today that we're going to dive into and we're going to grab onto, and that's this, that healing comes from the cross. We're in this teaching series, The Cross, where we're looking at really bringing back the significance of the cross in our society, in our culture. In many ways, we become desensitized to the power of the cross and what it symbolizes. Today, we're going to take a look at how healing comes from the cross. It comes from Christ's death and his resurrection. And so, at the end of the message last week, Pastor Jeff left off the last scripture that he shared was 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, and we're going to start today with that, and that's going to be our jumping off point. Verse 24, he, being Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. That last sentence, that last phrase, by his wounds, you are healed, that's our focus today. That's the truth that we're going to grab onto. We're going to dive into it. And here's the deal. If we take a look at that verse, by his wounds you are healed, it tells us that we're all in need of healing. We're all in need of healing. So we're going to ask three questions as it pertains to healing and that are going to help us understand our need for it, what specifically we are looking for when it comes to healing, and then what can we do to put ourselves in a position to experience healing. So we're going to ask three questions today. The first one is this. We have to first start off with, why do you need healing? Why do we need healing? It's important to hang on, or to answer this question. Otherwise, a truth like healing comes from the cross, it might sound good. you might think, well, that's nice, that's for somebody else, unless you recognize why we need healing. It really starts, you can go all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, we get the story of creation, how God created the heavens and the earth. He separated land and water. He caused plants to grow. He created animals. He creates man. He creates woman. The creation story is found in those first two chapters. And then the answer for why we need healing is found right on the heels of the creation story. In Genesis chapter 3, and even if you maybe didn't grow up in church, you probably have some basic knowledge of this story, the story of Adam and Eve being tempted by the serpent in the garden. You see, the serpent comes along, and he tempts Adam and Eve, and they'd been given basically one instruction, like, be fruitful, multiply, take care of all of this that you see, but then here's one thing that I don't want you to do. Don't eat from the fruit that comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the serpent comes along and he deceives them, he lies to them, he tempts them, he tricks them, and eventually, as you and I know, Eve eats from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then Adam does as well. And it's in those moments there that they disobey God, and that all of a sudden the relationship between God and humanity is severed. There becomes some distance because of disobedience, because of sin. And ever since, sin has pervaded humanity. It'd be nice to live in a world without sin, but that's not reality. And so if we want to answer the question, why do we need healing? It's the origins are traced all the way back to just after the creation story and the fall of man as we began to live a life that disobeyed God. And so now we live in this world that we deal with pain, we deal with suffering, we deal with death and decay and deterioration. And it's because of that, because we live in this fallen, sinful world, it's because of that that we're in need of healing. So once we understand that, though, then we're going to move on. We want to take a look at this question. What kind of healing am I in need of? And for the sake of maybe simplicity, we're going to break healing down into three groups. Three groups or three kinds of healing. As we go through this, consider which ones currently apply to your life. Which one of these are you wrestling with, or what are you experiencing right here, even today, as you listen to this message? The first kind of healing is physical healing. This is the one that maybe comes to mind first. You've got some back pain, or you're dealing with some sort of virus or a disease of some sort. It's causing us physical pain. It hurts us. We're aware of it over and over as we go throughout the day and we experience pain. We're wanting to experience physical healing so we don't have to deal with the disease or the broken bones and what have you. The second kind of healing, and I'm going to put these together, just mental and emotional healing. Mental and emotional healing, where our mind doesn't work the way it used to, or we're dealing with some sort of trauma because of something we've experienced, whether it's because we caused it or something happened to us that we did not cause, but we deal with trauma. Maybe we're looking for healing because we deal with anxiety and depression and other things that have to do with our mental state and our emotions. The third type of healing, and this one is what I like to refer to as the great equalizer. You may be walking in here feeling pretty good. You might not have any physical ailments, or maybe you walk in and you've got a sound mind and there's peace in your mind. This next one is something that all of us have experienced. And that is spiritual healing. We're all in need of spiritual healing. Some of us have found spiritual healing because we've surrendered our life to Christ. Others, we're still searching for it. Romans 3:23 tells us this: for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So all of us are in need then, or have been at one time or another in our life, we have been in need of spiritual healing because we fall short of God's glorious standard. And I would love to just be real for a moment and recognize that if you are new to New Life, I want you to know that we're a bunch of imperfect people that have gathered today to worship a perfect God. Said in a little more churchy way, we're all sinners that have gathered to worship a holy God. We want to meet with him. We want to experience his presence. We want to experience healing today for those of you that have yet to put your faith in Jesus. So just to kind of, I guess, maybe break the ice a little bit, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you woke up today and you are in need of some sort of physical healing. You've got some pain. You got some suffering. I see hands going up all over. If you are online with us and that was you, well, you just put the hand raised emoji in the chat. I know hands are going up in North Platte, in Ogallala as well. Real quick, those of you that raise your hand, will you raise them up again? Raise them up high. It's nothing to be ashamed of. We can be transparent here. Keep them up. Now, if you woke up today and you would say that you're in need of some sort of mental or emotional healing, you've been going through something, will you raise your hand? Okay, we've got more hands yet. Keep those hands up. And then the last one, if you would say that today I woke up and I'm in need of spiritual healing. I've been searching for something. I have not been able to fill this void, but I am searching. Okay, if you look around, there are hands up all over. So this message is for you today. If you've not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, this is the most crucial healing that you're in need of. I want you to know you're going to have an opportunity to do that at the end of today's service. But also, if you raise your hand because you desire physical healing or mental or emotional healing, you're going to have an opportunity to receive prayer for that as well after the message. So I want you to be processing that. Thankfully, for you and for me, we have a way to experience healing. I've already read it, but I'm going to read it again. We're going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. We can experience healing because of what Christ did for us on the cross. It says, he, being Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. That's why we can confidently say healing comes from the cross. Peter's words, though, they weren't just a recap of what had happened. He was telling people, he was stating, hey, this happened. We find his words in the New Testament after the the crucifixion and the resurrection. But I also think it's fascinating that Peter's also connecting the dots for us back about 700 years previous to Jesus being born, Jesus dying on the cross. About 700 years before that, the prophet Isaiah spoke of what was going to happen on the cross. Isaiah was a prophet from the Lord. He was used by God to speak to God's people. And he had this to say in Isaiah 53. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Another version of the Bible says, and with his wounds, we are healed. Isaiah, he was prophesying about Jesus. He was speaking of a Savior being crucified on a cross so that you and I could be healed spiritually and experience salvation. We could experience freedom from our sin, and we could be healed spiritually and come back into relationship with God the Father. That if Jesus had not gone to the cross, if he had not been raised up out of that tomb, you and I would be facing a need for spiritual healing for the rest of our existence. But it's because of the power of the cross and what Jesus did, you and I can experience spiritual healing. So if we know why we need to be healed, because of the fall of man, and then we understand what we're in need of healing for, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, the next question that I think we all should ask is, what can I do to experience God's healing? If I understand it, I feel it, what do I do now? And I want to speak to you, if you're somebody that's looking for depth in a message, as pastors, we hear that a lot. Man, I want to go deep. I want depth. I want you to know right off the bat, this is where you're going to find it. Because depth is not just intellectual knowledge. It's not just being inspired. Depth comes in the doing. So today I'm going to give you a few simple steps that you can take to position yourself in a place of receiving healing from God. But will you do it? Will you dive into the deep end and actually do it? That's up to you. What can I do to experience God's healing? Here are the three action steps. The first is this: confess. Turn to your neighbor and say, confess. Confess. Now, if you're like me, when I hear the word confess, I immediately go to sin. And yes, we should confess sin. That's going to be part of it. We'll talk about that in a second. But confession is more than just that, okay? More than just confessing sin. That's important. So I want to address that first, and then we're going to get to the second kind of confession. Why is confession of sin important? James 5:16 says this: confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So when we're willing to engage in community and like in a life group is what we call them around here, and you're willing to confess your sins to one another, you can experience healing as you pray for one another. In fact, my wife and I, Tiffany, we're a part of a life group here at New Life, and we've been talking. This confession has been a theme that keeps coming up in our conversations, in the power and the why do we need to confess? If God already knows, like if we confess to God, yes, that's important, but why do we need to confess to somebody else? And we've been talking about that and recognizing that, man, God's word tells us that if we pray for each other, it's so that we may be healed, that we can truly be set free from our sin if we're willing to confess to God and to one another. If you find that you're in need of good biblical community, then find a life group where you can be connected relationally to other people that are on this journey of growing in their faith. Now, healing, it's not simply on the other side of confession of faith, or excuse me, sin. It's also the result of a confession of faith. Confession is simply just declaring, making something known. And so confession of sin is important, but as important, if not more important, than confession of sin is confession of faith. Romans 10:9 tells us this: because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if we want to experience healing today, physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, we want to be people that confess. Confess our sin and confess our faith in Jesus Christ. After we do that, the second thing, the second action step we can take is to ask. To ask. We love and we worship and we serve this amazing God, but one thing that he is not is he is not forceful. He's not going to come in and make you do stuff in your life. He's not going to force his will upon us. And so it's important that once we profess our faith, confess our faith in him, to then go ahead and ask. He is a loving God, and he wants to give us good things. He wants to bring healing into our life, but he's not going to force his way in. And so it's important for you and for me to ask. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus said this: keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So we have to ask. Those of you that are parents in the room, how often have you waited for your child to ask you for something before you give it to them? I think sometimes, and maybe this isn't, we don't need to spend a lot of time here, but I think sometimes it's because we're going to value it more if we wait until they've asked. That could be part of the process here. Also, if my kids are asking me for something, they have to come close to me, don't they? And I think God loves that. Now, he's not insecure. He doesn't need that, but he likes it when we draw near to him and we ask him for what it is we're desiring. I want you to know this today, if you don't get anything else, I think this is important because I think this is what trips a lot of people up, and it's this, that God's will is always for healing, but God's will is not always for instantaneous healing. We get frustrated, we grow discouraged, we doubt if God even hears us, when it doesn't happen instantaneously and all of a sudden we're healed. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it happens like Lester in North Platte when he came to the altar and Drew prayed with him. Sometimes it is instantaneous healing, but other times it's not. And so that's why we come to our third step, and it's the most challenging. It's more challenging than confession. It's more challenging than asking, and that's the simple word, trust. Trust. And I want you to trust today in one particular aspect of who God is. We use a word in the church that we don't often use out in life, in society, culture, and that's the word that God is sovereign. We use the word sovereign to describe God. And so to bring a little bit of definition to that, sovereign just means possessing supreme or ultimate power. Today, if we want to experience healing, if we want to grow closer to God in our faith, it's important that we trust, and we trust that God is sovereign. We trust that he's all-powerful. He is supreme. He can do anything that he wants to do, and he always does what's best for us. That's ultimately what we need to trust. But I get sometimes our trust gets tested when God's timing is different than ours, or what we're hoping for. Our trust in God, it can start to deteriorate a little bit when God doesn't maybe have the same method of healing that we were hoping for. When our expectations of what God might do aren't met, it causes us to wrestle with, do I still trust in God? And today, let's be people that trust that God is sovereign. Here are a few things that are good to remind yourself in moments when you don't feel like trusting, when you are battling with emotions of discouragement or doubt. I'm going to give you a few things, and I'm going to go through them just real quick, so you may just jot down where you find these scriptures. But there's important things that our mind, that we know these truths, that we take these truths and we tell our hearts what is true, maybe when we don't feel like it, all right? What do I mean by that? Here are a few things that are good to remind yourself are true. First is this: God will help me. Let's say that out loud. God will help me. When I'm working on trusting God and I'm trusting that he's sovereign, it's good to remind myself that God will help me. Psalm 37:5, commit everything you do to the Lord, trust him, and he will help you. It doesn't say he might help you, he will help you. So we got to trust him. We got to know that God will help us. The second thing that's good for your mind to remind your heart of is God is close to me. Say, God is close to me. Psalm 34:18, and this is for those of you that if you have suffered significant loss, even perhaps recently, this is a verse to go back to time and time again. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. God is close to me. The third thing that you can tell yourself when you're wrestling with discouragement, when the enemy's trying to tempt you not to trust that God is sovereign, the third thing is this: God hears me. I hear this all the time from people. When their prayer hasn't been answered yet, or it hasn't been answered the way they thought it would, they begin to question, does God even hear me when I pray? Am I praying the right words? Am I praying the right way? Does God even hear me? This is a promise from the Lord found in Psalm 55. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. That's good news today. That if you're struggling with something, if you're in pain, you're suffering, you're questioning, is God even hearing me? You need to go to God's word and tell yourself what is true. Psalm 55, he hears my voice. Now there's a theme here. All of these truths have come from the book of Psalms. If you're not in a daily rhythm of being in God's word, and you're experiencing pain, you're experiencing suffering or discouragement or anxiety or depression, start your day with a psalm. I do it every morning, and I pray through a psalm, and I just ask the Lord, what is it you're speaking to me through this psalm today? And you'll find the promises of God are what you can hang on to in times of pain, in times of discouragement, in times of suffering. Read the Psalms and you'll be encouraged. The last one then that we can tell ourselves when we are wrestling with whether or not to trust God is this: God knows what's best for me. God knows what's best. And this is a great picture, a great verse to hold on to when you're wrestling with God's timing. Or when you see someone else receive healing, but you don't. At least not in the same way. These are verses here in Isaiah 55 that can remind us that God knows what's best for me. He is sovereign and he loves me. He knows what's best for me. Isaiah 55, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. It's important to get this, that it is always God's will to heal, but it's not always God's will to heal instantaneously. And when he doesn't heal instantaneously, it's important to go back to Isaiah 55 and say, okay, Lord, you haven't healed me instantly like I was hoping for, even what I was asking for, but I trust that your thoughts and your ways are far beyond mine. They're so much higher than mine. If you haven't healed me instantly, God, I'm going to trust that you have a reason and you have something better in store for me or for someone else that you want to use my life to be a witness to them. I'm going to trust you. Now, the enemy loves to attack our trust in God. He loves when healing doesn't happen the right way or the way we would think it will or hope it will, or when it's not in our timing. And he loves to just chip away at us and cause us to question God, to question, does he hear me? Is he close to me? Does God even care? Does God love me? Because I'm here, I'm in pain, I'm in suffering, I'm dealing with anxiety, I'm so discouraged. It's crucial to tell our hearts what our heads know is true. God will help me. God is close to me. God hears me, and God knows what's best for me. So I'm going to trust in his sovereignty. Now I get, today it's been a bit of a heavy topic, so I want to just relieve a little bit of tension for a second. And I want you to picture your favorite pair of shoes. Now, this might be shoes from your childhood, shoes from your glory days. They could be on your feet right now. Or maybe they're shoes that you've always wanted that you've never had before. For me, it's Reebok Pumps. The black high tops with the orange, looks like a basketball on the top of the tongue, and you push them and they inflate and they just, you know, cushion your foot. I could go on and on. If you have no idea what Reebok Pumps are, Google D. Brown Slam Dunk Contest, okay? It's iconic. But I want you to picture your favorite shoes. Maybe they're steel-toed boots because you're tougher than I am, or maybe they're Hey Dudes because you're just more relaxed and chill. Maybe it's Vans because you're cool and you're a skater. I don't know. But for you, picture your favorite shoes. Shoes, man, they're fun, they're fashionable, they're comfortable. When we were kids, they always made us what? Run faster and jump higher. At some point, there's a tipping point, and that doesn't work anymore. But let's say that you and I, we've got a friend that makes shoes, and he is just incredible. He's this amazing craftsman when it comes to shoes, the quality, the style. And he is here today, and he gives us a pair of shoes. Okay, I'm not Oprah. I'm not, you know, Ellen saying, hey, you get shoes, and you get shoes. But let's pretend for a second they're below your seat, and you get to pull them out, and you get to put them on today. And this friend tells us that also he's going to give us a pair of shoes, let's say on Christmas Day of this year. But these two shoes, the two pairs of shoes that he's going to give us are very different. The ones that he's given us today that we get to put on, that you could walk out of service with, are like the shoes that we're used to. As you wear them, they're gradually not as brightly colored. They get a little dirty. As you wear them, like my daughter Zion, all of a sudden the sole starts ripping apart, and we start to wear them out. But the other shoes, the ones that are coming on Christmas, they will stay in pristine condition for eternity. You can wear them and wear them and wear them, and they'll never wear out. They'll never get dirty. They'll never start coming apart at the seams. They'll never deteriorate. They'll never decay. They're perfect and will always be perfect. So we walk out of service today in our new shoes, the ones that deteriorate a little bit. And we come back here a few months from now. We've been wearing these shoes, and they're a little bit worn out. And this friend of ours that gave us the shoes, we go and we ask him, hey, will you make these nice and shiny again? Will you repair the sole? And for some reason, we can't quite figure it out. For some reason, he repairs and restores some shoes and not others. But he reminds us, hey, all of you, whether I restore these or not, come Christmas, you're getting that pair that will never deteriorate. It'll never fall apart. You'll get to wear them forever. Now, we're talking about something more important than shoes. We're talking about our bodies, our lives. We live in a world that is broken. It's full of sin. We experience death. We experience deterioration. We experience pain and suffering. It's not wrong of us to ask to be healed. But if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, more than we need to fix our eyes on our earthly bodies and why am I not healed or why is my friend healed, we can all look to the day that's coming where we'll get a body that will never deteriorate by our friend, Jesus. It's not just something I'm making up. I want to take us to Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? We have hope today for everyone that has put their faith in Jesus, that one day you will not experience suffering. In fact, all suffering and pain, all tears will be wiped away. That will vanish as we get to be in God's presence for eternity. We have that to look forward to. We have that to look forward to. Now, spiritual healing, it's available to all who surrender their life to Jesus. We have the promise of healing because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Our healing comes from the cross, not the wood that the cross was made out of, but the Savior that was crucified on that cross and then raised to new life to conquer sin, to conquer death, so that you and I would be healed, because it's always God's will to be healed. So confess, ask, and trust. These are the three steps that we can take today. As I mentioned earlier, in just a moment, we're going to respond to what God has been speaking to each and every one of us today with a time where if you would like to receive prayer for healing, you can come down. We're going to have leaders at all of our campuses down in the altar area. If you're with us through New Life Online, select the request prayer button and someone will pray with you online right now. But here's the deal. Confess, ask, and trust. They're not just three words that I came up with. When you look at the life of Jesus, he modeled this for us perfectly. That as followers of Jesus, we are to become like him. We're to do what he did. And we see him live a life of confession of faith. That every turn, even, yes, when he was going to heal somebody, he would confess his faith in God the Father, and he would point them in God's direction. His whole life was a confession of faith. And then even Jesus asked the Father for something. Jesus the Son of God, Son of Man, who was sinless, lived a perfect life, even asked the Lord for something. We see it on the last night before, as he's about to be arrested, and then he's going to go and be crucified, and the rest is history. We see on that last night where he is praying in the garden, he's been confessing his whole life about God and how amazing and how sovereign he is. And then we get to this moment in Matthew 26, verse 39. He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me." He's asking, "Father, if I don't have to endure this, will you take it away from me?" So he's confessed his whole life. He asks in this moment, but right on the heels of this ask, he trusts. He says these words, "Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Can we be a people that confess and ask and trust, just like our Savior modeled for us? I'm going to invite you to stand. As we go into this time of responding, I would just set it up this way. When I say amen, don't wait. Don't wait to come down to the altar. Don't wait to move. If you're in need of physical healing at any one of our campuses, if you're in need of physical healing, if you suffer in maybe a more silent way, and there's something that you would like God to heal within your mind, anxiety or depression, if you're in need of spiritual healing today, don't wait. When we say amen, make a move. Make a move, and let's believe in faith that God will heal today, because it's his will. I'm going to give you one last piece of direction. If you're somebody that you don't have something today that you're coming to the altar for, then I want to activate you to begin praying right where you're standing. Begin praying for everybody that makes a move. We're going to intentionally leave our music quieter so that the conversations at the altars can happen. And we're going to believe in faith today for healing. Why don't you pray with me? Father, we come to you today full of faith in who you are. We thank you that you loved us so much that while we were still sinners, you sent your son Jesus to die for us, to cover our sin, to make a way for us to come back into relationship with you when we confess that Jesus is our Lord and our leader. We thank you, God, that your will is for healing. And we're praying and we're believing, God, for that healing to take place today. That minds that have been broken are healed and made whole. That there are physical ailments today that as we lay hands and believe and pray in faith, God, that there will be healing today. And ultimately, God, for everyone that puts their faith in Jesus today, we believe and we trust and we know that there will be healing, where they will be made right with the Father, where they will be able to come back into relationship with you. So God, have your way today. As we make a move to this altar, as we begin to pray, we know that you are close. We know that you will hear. We know that you will help. And we believe, God, you will heal. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.